And I am here in studio with State Senator Diana DeZoglio. She's from the 1st Essex District. This is, of course, north of us, not usually the local politicians that we check in with. However, she is running for state auditor, which is a statewide position. There's been a lot of interest in this race, and we're going to share some of the things that she thinks would make her the state auditor to vote for in the election, and that's the election in 2022. Diana DeZoglio, thanks so much for joining us today in studio.
Thank you so much, Christine, for having me here today. It's great to be with you at WATD. Very exciting times this morning, and good afternoon, I should say, to everybody out there driving or listening in at your home.
Well, tell me a little bit about your background, since our listeners might not have as good a knowledge of you as they are of some of our very local state senators and reps. Tell us a little bit about who you are.
Sure. Well, my name is Diana DeZoglio, and I am currently a state senator from the Merrimack Valley. I'm running for state auditor. I hail from the city of Methuen. It's the last community up 93, right before you hit New Hampshire. I was born in Methuen to a 17-year-old single mother. We moved back and forth between Methuen and Lawrence, depending on where my mom could find work as a young nurse's aide growing up. And I ended up going through the public school system there, and then going off to our local community college, which was an associate's degree that I could obtain, and that was affordable thanks to our state's investments and families like mine. And from there, I ended up earning a seat at Wellesley College, and was so grateful to have earned a seat there, but I was actually only able to attend Wellesley due to a full financial scholarship. And the reason why I think that's important to bring up is because it was due to those financial investments and other investments that were made into my future success, regardless of my background or my zip code or my family upbringing, that I was really inspired to give back to my local community in whatever way I could. So I ended up working at a young teen girls' home for a while as a live-in mentor. As a domestic violence survivor myself, I worked with young teen girls specifically who had survived domestic violence in the home. I also volunteered at Girls Inc. In the city of Lowell and helped to run their after-school programs. And I also worked as the cultural arts coordinator at the United Teen Equality Center, helping to expand their diversity, equity, and inclusion programming and working specifically with inner city youth. Now, simultaneously, during these years, I was also working in the private sector in the hospitality industry, waiting tables. And
tough job.
Yeah, you've done it
myself, yes, all through college.
As a many listening, right? So I was waiting tables, and I was also running a very small, environmentally friendly cleaning business, and was a sole proprietor for that, and was cleaning homes and offices around the Merrimack Valley, and was juggling all these different things, during the years that I was working in the community service programs that I was working in. Working in the hospitality industry and running that cleaning business was meant to supplement that income, really, because as anybody knows who has worked in community service before, who has a loved one who works in community service, it doesn't always pay the bills, right?
Mm-hmm.
So was doing these side jobs, but I ended up actually, Christine, getting offered a job as a legislative aide working at the State House through the community service work that I was doing. There was a state representative locally who needed a legislative aide who spoke fluent Spanish. I do. And needed someone with deep community ties, which I had and still have. And I thought, well, that's great. I need health insurance. So it sounds like a great job.
Mm-hmm.
But I will be honest with you. At that time, I was, in my mid-20s. I really didn't have a full understanding of the legislature, the State House, Beacon Hill, what a state representative even was. It wasn't something that I was educated about or really fully understood, which is probably why I've been such a big advocate for civic education in our schools and making sure that we're educating people about the process. But look, I took the job and it was like drinking water from a fire hose. I learned very quickly through that position about all of the wonderful work that our state government can do for folks alongside, can do for our communities alongside of all of you. I learned about investments in public education and fighting for access to health care for all and making sure that we are fighting for a robust transportation system and combating climate change and, fighting for, women and minority rights and so on and so forth, right? I can continue going on and on and on about all the great work that our legislature can do and that I learned about. But I also, during that very short time, working as a legislative aide, again, at the State House as a younger woman in my 20s, I saw the flip side of how our state government can operate. And during that very short amount of time, I was sexually harassed in our own House of Representatives. And the way that it was thought appropriate to deal with that harassment at that time was to dismiss me from my position so that the harassment would stop, and then require that I sign a taxpayer-funded non-disclosure agreement just to collect a very basic standard severance package upon my dismissal. Mm-hmm. And that NDA, which again was taxpayer-funded, required that I not talk about anything that I had seen, witnessed, or experienced behind those closed doors on Beacon Hill.
That's amazing to me. Taxpayer-funded. Okay.
But I didn't let them get rid of me. I didn't let them keep me quiet, and I didn't leave state government like I was told to do. I instead decided to run for state representative myself, and a little over a year later made my way back into that same chamber as the youngest woman serving in the House of Representatives at the time. And when I got elected, Christine, I took that responsibility incredibly seriously. It was a very humbling experience to know that my community that I grew up in had put their faith and their trust in me to represent them and to be their voice. And I knew it was my responsibility and incumbent upon me to use what I had seen, to use what I had witnessed, to use what I had learned behind those closed doors to fight for others in our communities who, like my family was, and maybe for completely different reasons, but for who, like my family was, have either been dismissed or ignored or disenfranchised from a system in our state government that just isn't working for all families in Massachusetts the way that it could and the way that it should. And I took on that battle regarding those taxpayer-funded non-disclosure agreements. That's a fight that I took with me to the state Senate, where I currently serve. And I'm proud to say that in the state Senate, we've been able to pass a complete ban on those taxpayer-funded NDAs to prevent their abuse in cases of discrimination, harassment, and abuse of any kind. But we have an administration who continues to use these agreements, exploiting our tax dollars on protecting perpetrators and silencing victims across our state government right now. And it doesn't stop there, but it looks like you want to ask me a question.
I do. I mean, it's a fascinating background. I love hearing this because I know what this is going to lead into. You're running for state auditor. There's a lot of people probably within our listening audience that don't really even know what does a state auditor do. Mm-hmm. Tell me in a couple sentences what a state auditor does and why you think, with all these great experiences you've had, that you would fit into that role.
In a couple of sentences?
just to find the state auditor in a couple of sentences.
Sure. So the state auditor's role is the chief accountability officer for the state of Massachusetts, and the one who is meant to speak truth to power and hold the powerful accountable to the taxpayer, which is all of you. The state auditor manages an office of about 232 people right now and ensures that our systems in state government are working efficiently and effectively, but also ensures that there's equity, accountability, and accessibility, including transparency, in every state agency, including the legislature and the executive branch. So she is the one who makes sure to engage with the general public and is committed to being their voice up on Beacon Hill and calling out any abuses or issues or challenges that are occurring in different state agencies, and then works to fill the gaps that her office identifies through auditing, which isn't just financial in nature. Mm-hmm. Can also be qualitative audits of different processes and procedures that need to change. And then works to fill those gaps, working alongside of the legislature through filing legislation.
I imagine you probably have a game plan that you would go after on day one about different things that you'd be interested in looking at.
For sure, yeah. So, you know, we just talked about those NDAs, right? Mm-hmm. Day one, I want to start with a full audit and an investigation into every state agency about, and we're talking state universities, we're talking, you know, any public agency that receives state funding, regarding how many non-disclosure agreements have been used to hide misdeeds, to hide potential abuse, potential corruption. We know that 33 non-disclosure agreements were used in the House of Representatives alone during the last 10 years or so. I believe it was, you know, even a shorter amount of time than that. I know I was one of them. The other 32 are unaccounted for, so mm-hmm. We want to, you know, ensure that there's transparency and accountability there. But we also hear that there were hundreds given out in other state agencies using taxpayer dollars that could be hiding potential corruption or abuse that was occurring or still is occurring. And I want to do a deep dive into that. But moving on from that, you know, transparency and accountability across the board needs to be addressed. That's just the starting point. Mm-hmm. We remember during the pandemic, right, when we, and I know almost every listener is going to remember the vaccine rollout and the website issue and challenges with the website and with the rollout and trying to find the vaccine and locate, you know, where folks could get access to that. We remember when the administration was originally supposed to send those vaccines at that rollout time to our cities and towns to be distributed by our cities and towns and public health officials in each community so that folks could get equitable access to that vaccine. And what ended up happening instead, Christine, was those vaccines were last minute diverted to mass vaccination sites and not to our local communities. And contracts in the millions and millions of taxpayer dollars were given out with no bid and no RFP to randomly chosen private businesses and these mass vaccination sites, instead of taking those dollars and reinvesting them into our local communities where families, our elderly, our disabled, our immunocompromised, those without transportation could get access. And those folks suffered as a result of those decisions that were made, not being able to get a ride to the mass vaccination site, mm-hmm. not being able to access the website, not being able to travel or just get access in any way. So when that happened, I stood up and I, as a state senator, called for an audit and an investigation into how much in our taxpayer dollars was spent in no bid, no RFP contracts with these mass vaccination sites and the private contractors during that time, and to do an audit of that whole process and the system, the systemic failures that occurred during that process. We think about the Holyoke Soldiers Home tragedy, and we think about the 77 veterans who lost their lives and what it took to get to that point. And we remember that it was a Boston Globe Spotlight Team investigation that uncovered that the administration had actually told falsehoods about what really occurred when they came before a legislative panel to talk about the Holyoke Soldiers Home tragedy. When we found out that falsehoods were told at the oversight hearing, I stood up as a state senator and I demanded that the administration come back before us under oath and that we utilize our full subpoena authority to get to the bottom of what really occurred during that tragedy. Of course, for transparency and accountability, but more so because the families of those who lost those loved ones, those families deserve the truth and they deserve justice. And I'll give one more example, Christine. When McKinsey Consulting continued to be contracted with in the millions of dollars, even after our attorney general stood up and announced a lawsuit against them for being found guilty in being complicit with Purdue Pharma and covering up their contributions to the opioid crisis, which has devastated countless families across our communities, the administration continued to contract with that company in the millions of our taxpayer dollars. And when that occurred, I stood up alongside of the Attorney General and I demanded that the administration stop contracting in the millions of taxpayer dollars with a company who's proven to abuse the public's trust. As a state senator, I've been standing up. I've been speaking truth to power. I've been calling for audits. I've been calling for investigations. As state auditor, I won't need to keep calling for audits and calling for investigations. I will audit and I will investigate these matters and much more on your behalf.
Well, it sounds like you've got quite an agenda that you would like to attack as state auditor. If people want to find out more about your candidacy, how can they do that? Website and a Facebook page?
Yes, www.dianaforma.com. That's DianaForMA.com.
Okay, and then it's Diana DiZoglio, state senator here from the 1st Essex District. You want to be the next state auditor.
And I can't do it without your support, so I want to respectfully ask listeners out there, please check me out if you'd like to learn more about me. Again, my website is DianaForMA.com. But I do respectfully ask for your vote. I can't do it without you. So see you at the primary ballot in September of 2022. And thanks so much for the opportunity to come on here with you today, Christine. It's been a true honor.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it. Again, that's State Senator Diana DiZoglio. And we'll put this whole interview up on our website, too. And that's 959WATD.com.